Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining this conversation about our favorite show. I woke up this morning, but I woke up for gym, so I couldn't watch. I only finished watching about 45 minutes ago. So I just want to hear from you guys, those of you who probably got a chance to watch more than once. Like Ukiz, I can see from the laughter, Uti, she watched and watched and watched and analyzed everything. So, Keys, how was the three episodes this week? Welcome.
Hi, Lelo. I actually didn't watch like more than like I rewinded just one scene like three times, but I couldn't this morning. I didn't make 5 a.m. I was not part of the 5 a.m. team, and I actually muted the hashtag. But when like came back from work and I watched the episode, it was fantastic. I could not stop laughing to a point where I thought like my neighbors like are thinking like, what is wrong with this girl?
Which episode is this now that you are? Is this the scene at the Umemulo?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So maybe I think just a quick recap from my side, because I don't really have a lot to say. I truly enjoyed episode 13, and episode 13 is the first one. It's the you know, the one where Mkhwele comes back home and finds Mqoqi. We'll talk about Mqoqi now being healed so quickly. We'll talk about that later. Comes back and finds that Mqoqi has been shot. Now everybody's blaming him because, you know, where were you? You were supposed to be doing the job that Mqoqi ended up going to do. And now the Majolas are also celebrating Ubuti. They took the money. I don't know, why must they have their eyes all wide open when they are celebrating popped and everything? Anyway, so Qhawe also has this thing where he just knows Ubuti Mqhwele hit Ulwana Uhlomo when he sees like those bruises on her back. And when Mqhwele Qhawe was, you know, just saying to Uhlomo Ubuti, this is his my brother's handiwork, it just said to me Ubuti Mqhwele probably has a history of abusing women. How is it that Qhawe just knows Ubuti he hit her, you know? And for the first time, we get to see those bruises. Because Mina Uhlomo, when she was gallivanting in KZN, maybe gallivanting is a bit of an exaggeration. But I didn't think, I was wondering, Ubuti, are there even bruises, land? But get the bruises reappeared when she was back in Joburg. But we are thankful for that, because then we got to see, you know, that conversation that she had with Qhawe. Now, another thing that got me, sorry, I know I'm talking a lot, but I just want to get my highlights on episode 13, which I thought was my favorite. The way Mqhwele was so afraid to say to his brothers, Ubuti, what happened? Where was he when this whole thing, you know, was happening? For me, it was like, is it because Usaba reaction, yeah, but when they find out Ubuti he hit a woman, it was so weird. Ubuti he said Ubuti they'd rather suspect him of, you know, being involved in that hit than actually say Ubuti yongisha and they put her ngasha Uhlomo and this is what the father did and so on. So yeah, I really liked all of that. And even the part where we got to see Qhawe being the one who ends up defending, well, not really defending him, but ends up, he knows the truth. What did Mqhwele do? But he chooses not to say to his brothers, but rather just use an excuse. You would know there was a tracker said Ubuti he was in KZN when this whole thing was happening, just to clear him and take off that tension. Because Shane, he was starting to feel like an outsider, you know, when they're having conversations and they want to know what happened and so on. And I liked the addition of load shedding when Mqhwele was told, I was saying, hey, load shedding, I must see. That was nice, like just bringing a bit of reality into the show. I liked that. And yeah, I think those are my highlights from this episode. So Keith, over to you.
Yes, so I just want to comment on like you do such a great job of being and like sort of like surmising everything that has happened throughout the, like, you know, the episodes. I do want to say that like my ministry is and always will be putting, you know, the B word, right, for those that don't know, their books aside, and letting us, even those of us that are readers and like followers of the book, being surprised as well. And I think the past, last week we did not have a space, but like taking those episodes and this episodes together, I want to be surprised. I also want to, like, I think we underestimate that over and above, you know, these books being a love story, right? So each and every single book tells a different love story of the brothers, but they also like crime thrillers. Like, this is like Law and Order, Special Victims Units. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, in just like a South African context, and like, these are thrillers, and that is what has like drawn us to these books. Like, you're lying to people about your whereabouts because you're sitting somewhere under a table, like reading these books. Like, you want to know, like, what did Hlobo do? And then what did they mean where Siyabuya, and they don't come back for 4 days? It's still a thriller. And I really, really, enjoy that. Like I said, the framework is the framework. The framework is that there's these 8 weird brothers, that are taxi owners. There's an underlying of a love story, but we forgot that this is also a thriller. You are so curious about what happens next. And the past 6 episodes, I will say, has deferred so much away from the books, the manner in which the Umemulo happened, the revenge of the Machola brothers. Like, even those that have read the books are still surprised. We are still in suspense, and I enjoy that. However, the underlying theme still remains, is this crazy, quote-unquote, toxic love story between Mchele and, you know, Shomu, and everything else in between.
Hey, toxic, toxic. Yes, me kucha into a toxic. That relationship. Oh, Anyway, I know at the end of the last episode, I actually missed what Shomu's dad says to her, but maybe someone will, because I don't know, I just got distracted. No good nje umuntu sekuba izu, but distracted. Anyway, Neo, hi.
Hi.
That's a flat hi. That's a very flat hi.
What can I say? Look, yeah, I feel that I get there. I guess, you know what, the highlights are that first episode that you were talking about, I don't even know, what, 13. They kept the theme there, which I liked. It was a put-together episode. You know, we saw the transition from him coming back from KZN, his interaction with his brothers, and obviously the of them trying to find out what was happening. In true abuser style, of course, Nkele went and got a gift, an extravagant gift at that, because he was in the doghouse. And, you know, I'm like, yeah. But I mean, look, she's a gone girl. We've already established that. The proposal was very cute. I guess in true Zulu style, it was never going to end in just jubilation. Something had to happen, which I think is probably a good theme to just show Hutsi Abachabuli for a long time, in terms of then their house being burned down. I'm not going to mention the Machola brothers. Again, they got too much screen time. But, you know, it's time Hutsi, they need to go. Another favorite.
No.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. I heard Lelo, my name. Okay, cool.
Oh, sorry, Nell. I was trying to say something and then I muted myself.
Askies.
So don't forget what you want to say, Nell, but can I just add something to what you just said now? I just wanted to add the significance of the proposal being at the taxi rank, because they didn't refer to it on the show, but in the book it's because Mkhale says this is where he saw her for the first time.
Yes.
So that's where he wanted to propose. So anyway, carry on.
And then and look, another thing, right? I get that the series is probably trying to show new singers and give everybody exposure, but I thought with the theme of the series, it would have been nice to have that sang with their first date to be the one singing in the proposal. But anyway, as we call up, it was still a lovely scene. Another highlight will be the Memulo scene for me, with my chaotic three, starting their song about the lovely doctor. I absolutely love that. I think that was just, again, my highlight. And I love to see Nkosana actually singing along, in which is very out of character for him. You thought he'd be in a sense, yokuthi uzokhuza, akakhuzanga, uhlekile, wacula, wacula noqhawe, and that was so lovely to see. And of course, the little smiles between Somu and Nkhele, that was so intimate. I loved seeing that. And yeah, that is what I will say for now. Ngizobuya nokunye, but for now, that's where it is. Like I said, I still feel the episode's missing. In terms of the story, there were a couple, I feel there's scenes missing. A lot of copy-paste with these last three. Okay, eating food.
Guys, I keep muting myself, jeez. We will use our book knowledge to close the gaps for the people who didn't read the book. So, guys, the reason why this happened is because 1, 2, 3. Just so you know, everybody follows.
But, so, Leno,
okay.
Do you think the gaps are from the book? I think the gaps are just in the series now. So I don't know if everybody else can. First episode, like I saw, there was a theme. The second one, okay, proposal. Your house just burned down. Like, there is no... I'm talking about those different disconnects. I'm just like, guys. Nalo memulo, when did it happen? Like, does Somu's dad know that she's getting married? Memulo seemed to have happened out of the blue. You know? And that's besides the book. That's just the theme in the series now.
You are right, Neo, because this thing of Umemulo immediately after the fire is the same as they were being shot at, you know, now all of a sudden they are at the hospital where Shomu is injured or something like that.
Yeah.
So just like there's no flow sometimes, you know. Keys, you want to respond to something Neo said and then I'll move on to one of the other speakers?
Yes, I want to respond to this. I finally met somebody that hadn't read the books and is watching the series. And like the feedback, unyaka feedback yaka as somebody that has read the books, like almost to validate their thoughts or like their thought process. And one of the things that person is like, yo, these brothers are so hectic, hey? Like they also like observe the fact that they move as a unit. And they do everything as a unit. And one of the things that they observed in the last episode, the episode Ya Memulo wa Shomu, is that, oh my God, they put like on the back burner what it is that they were going through to be there for their brother. So I think like those of us that have read the books, we are like overly sentimental and we don't think that like certain themes and certain messages come across, but they actually do. You know what I mean? They actually do. The manner in which these brothers move as a unit, when they were kicking Sandile out, everybody was present. When they were at the hospital with Somu, everybody was present. The manner in which they, first of all, it just occurred to me that like today, you know, with no problems whatsoever, you know what I mean? And like, just like the ease of that integration, you know, we think those of us that read the books, we get it more than other people get it. But I'm telling you, the sentiment, it's coming across even to those that, didn't read the books. It's just that we are so sentimental that we just want the story to be told in a specific way. But it comes across.
Okay, kids. We are thankful to have you here to just keep us in check. Thank you for that. Stratan Zesi, let me come to you.
Hi, everyone. I hope you guys are all well. Okay, so I agree with you, Lelo. Episode 13 was also my favorite because everything seemed to flow in that episode. And then with the other two episodes, that's when the problem began again with no flow because it ends up making the scenes not make sense in a way. Because how it ended off last week, Soma and her father had actually said to her that if she leaves, then she should never come back. And then all of a sudden this week, there's Umemulo, you know, there's just no correlation there. At least what they should at least do is, you know, write that 10 days later, you know, because again, this week, another thing that happened was, when their house burns down, and then the next thing, they're at Umemulo. can they at least be like, okay, well, 1 week later, you know, so it can make sense to us? Because I also have a friend who was like, she's never read the books. And she was like, okay, please explain to me, because those two scenes just didn't seem to make much sense to me. And then I had to explain to her that, okay, well, in the books, well, it didn't, their house didn't burn, but this is what happened. So, yeah, I think for now that's what I just have to say.
Ndiyakuva sisi, ndiyakuva kakhulu, enkosi. Thank you. Ntozake, hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. No, we can hear you.
Okay. Hello, everyone. You said you didn't hear properly what Baba Kahlomo was saying. Baba Kahlomo gave Kahlomo a blessing to marry Mkhwele. So he knows about the marriage proposal. So I think it's the reason he invited Usandi to just try and break this thing. As I said last time, I didn't know about the books until the first episode. So the thing that I wanted to see, especially, I think the last time, the second brother, Ayo Shaul, that thing is not done by siblings or even the father of the child. So for now, Uguti is Ati, I will send Omalu. I can't wait to Uguti. Leo Pati and Zwega, I thought they had no family. And then, I focused on music because I noticed good ama soundtrack now. Now, tell a story, kids, they kind of bridge the gap for us. But I hated a song, Ebidlala, Uhlomo, when she was changing into the white shirt. But ngidlisiwe whereby umuntu coverisha ama scars. I think that song was misplaced. Bengafuna ukukhuluma lokho, but yeah, but other I love the way Papa Nkono music. And then I think uMchele uzoba ne problem ne relationship ka Hlomo. Not uMchele. uMchele ne, yeah, uzoba ne problem ne relationship ya Hlomo no Qhawe. And she might get another beating from that, because Ulono Mkhwele man is very insecure. Very, very insecure. Mfuna lana, akafuna interact in abanye. But overall, I like it. Some of the things, the way the people who read the books hate the Majola brothers, I ended up tweeting. Mina ngivukela ngo 3 le show. So I ended up tweeting about Fongo Zuguti. Were the Majola brothers in the book, because of the hate. They receive so much hate, especially from the people who've read the book. So the president will reply, no, bakhona, babizange isithakazelo sabo encwadini. But I just love the show. Just nje, there was two episodes missing from episode 14 and 15. They had to bridge a lot of things. Ngifisa umpande ubani, put bangishaya. We bacala abantu. Anyway, I love this.
Okay, Ntozake. Thank you. Okay, Lumka, and then after Lumka, I'm going to go to Sihle. Sihle is one of the writers on the show, so he's going to tell
literally
us about
Literally the first guest. Tweet everybody sees on Thursday morning is Sihle's tweets. Literally. So
now we
Lumka
sees at that time. Okay, let's go to Lumka. Lumka?
Yes, I think Mina, I'm just enjoying seeing the transition from where Dudu was with writing the books and seeing it where it is. I even take pictures of all the billboards that I see around Johannesburg and everywhere, and I take pictures and I make sure that I know where these billboards are. But my best scene was when Hlomo's mom was doing makeup Yagalang, you know. There is that acceptance of a gay son for her mother that, you know, it was subtle, but it was so powerful in the way they portrayed it. And then when Mkhwele just left the 100 rand there and then let his brothers do the most, for me, that was the best tool for today. But yeah, I'm just in the Dudu wave more than criticizing what the book is there and what was not in the book and what is in the TV series. I'm just loving the story and the transition of where it is now. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you, Lumka. That scene where Mkele puts 100 bucks is, because I got nervous, I got scared, and I got embarrassed for him because I thought that's all he had, because, you know, they didn't have any money, their house got burned down and everything. So I thought, that's all he has. God, yo, the Three Musketeers are coming. So now that was really nice. And we're not criticizing as such. The space is not really to criticize. I think we're just sharing what we feel. We are talking about the things we love. We're talking about the things we didn't love. Equally, so it's not to say this is a bashing session, so I hope nobody sees it that way. All right, so let me go to Sihle, and then, yeah, Sihle, welcome.
Hey, how are you guys? Nyasheba, ngani bamba.
Hey, cutting the egg. Ungabatshele so much, they will disconnect our services. Manasisi.
No, man, nothing like that. So I just wanted to jump in here, like, on a couple of things, and I've seen, like, this is, since episode 4, it's been a recurring theme, especially, I think, people who've read the book, they felt like there are scenes missing, or there are some gaps, that need to be connected. So there's two things that I want to say to that. There's definitely some scenes that we've had to cut, because the episode, as we write them as writers, are sometimes a little bit longer. And then obviously there's like quality control standards that you have to meet in terms of channel. And sometimes also production time and production schedule that don't actually allow you to shoot everything that you've written. So for instance, I think like in the last batch of episodes, there was an episode that I worked on where Umkele goes to KZN with Ayolanda Oshom. And there's that scene where Emile Teller like a takeaway with the little message. So immediately after that, there was supposed to be another scene where she goes to confront him in the car. So you don't actually have that gap where she gets the takeaway and the next thing that she's made the decision which she's going with this guy. So those kinds of things are there. They do happen because of just logistical production reasons. But also, guys, you have to remember that these are 30-minute episodes and we only have 40 episodes for each book. So the books are quite detailed. They're quite long. They've got a lot of story in them. So it's also just about picking your moments and picking the things that will resonate the most with people. And also like just for people who haven't read the books. That's one side of it. And then the other side of it is I think also as South African audiences watching South African production specifically, we've gotten used to a lot of exposition where, especially with telenovelas, where things are explained and they are talked to death step by step by step by step. So you sort of get this thing of a scene about every little thing. And I think it's one of the conversations that we're having in the writer's room about sometimes you need to trust the audience that they'll connect the dots themselves, that this has happened in between something else or off camera. And one of the examples that we were talking about, I don't know like how many of you guys have seen, there's a show called Daredevil. So Daredevil is a Netflix series, and it starts off with this, it's the origin story of this character where he gets into an accident and he like gets hit with acid in his eyes. So he's like a superhero. And that's literally, it's like a 2-minute scene and that's his whole entire origin story. It's not explained like how he became a superhero after that. Because you trust the audience that you'll bring them along as the journey continues and they'll sort of bond with the character more than the specifics of carrying them through every little incident that the character has been through. So I think like a lot of like the shows that we watch in South African television and this is something that I've seen in some of the other productions that we've worked on, where we don't necessarily trust our audiences to connect the gaps and be able to fill in information. So we over-rely on dialogue and exposition and these long scenes where the story isn't necessarily moving forward. It's people talking about what they're going to do, talking about their intentions, and we're not actually showing them. So we're trying to create sort of a different narrative and storytelling language with The Wife where we do have elements of exposition, but we actually move the story forward a little bit quicker not only so that we can get through anything, everything, but just because we trust the audience, Kuti, we know bakhona lelo who are going to host the space and say, no, this is what happened. You know, this is what happened in the books. And, but also it can still work for other people who didn't necessarily, read the Shlomo the Wife series. Yeah, so I just wanted to just chime in, on that particular point.
Thank you, Sihle. So, ngicela sibhatalwe ke nathi for closing the gaps, lan aba editor, where they've cut the scripts and scenes, and we are closing the gaps, so can we just get paid? So, I'm not going to respond to what you were saying. I'm going to ask Neo, because Neo raised her.
This is the yellow taxi cult. You don't get paid for being in a cult.
How am I?
I was literally about to say, that's what the hell he calls us. He will be like, Good morning, yellow taxi gang.
We are sending Abom Koki and Bande to him when I never mind when I keep. So, Neo, you wanted to respond to Sihle and then we'll go to Ayanda.
I do. We see the mean my invoice is coming, gag. So I said, Benza, to fill the gap.
I is.
You traumatized me twice in what you said. Okokuqala, you said 40 episodes per book. Why would you do that to us? We're already on episode 15. Trauma number one. Question number two. Bafani no major. Bafani ngoba sisikhathele bakithi. Bafanini. Sicela I date and time. Sizoza sonsiza. Digama extra corn. Sirit. Sicela nje ukwazi ukuthi bafanini. Sizwile.
Am I the only person not mad at the Majola brothers? Like, I am on the Majola brothers' side. If somebody's killing my father and my brother, I'm getting revenge, and I'm doing it in every way possible. I am not mad at the Majola storyline. Is it just me?
It's just you.
So I need to give Sihle... Sorry, where is Sihle disappeared? Maybe somebody else will answer, but me, I still need to know, Buti. Yes, we agree the Majolas need to be there because the story can't just be Mkhele and Shlomo, why. But must they get as much screen time as they are getting? If other scenes about Shlomo and about Mkhele are getting cut, why don't they cut as about Majola with their big eyes? You know those bug eyes? Now they are the Majolas and they are not looking cute when they are on the Majola side of things. Okay, Ayanda, let me come to you.
Hi, Sanbonani. Thank you, Lelo, for affording me the opportunity. You know, when I finished watching the third episode, Lea Namhlanje, I said to myself, Ushomu is a blessing, but also a curse in the Zulu family. Every time Umkhele is doing something, ehlangabezene noShomu, kwenzeka isibhicongo back home. He went to KZN, his brother got shot. He went and did, yo guys, I also want a proposal at the taxi rank. Even if my boyfriend is not a taxi driver or a Zulu. He goes and proposes at the taxi rank, the house is ala iyashiso. But also what I am trying to figure out is how does the connection between Ushomu and the first brother she met, the lower business card happened. The connection between the two, it is there, and it goes back to Ndiye Zulu ukuthi akumele unkosikazi wakho aze abhekane nobhuti bakho nobaba wakho emehlweni. Because that's why people sometimes end up sleeping with their brother-in-laws, because you might not be too connected or spiritually connected to the one that you are married, and then ufike emzini kube khona u big brother or little brother. Yes, as mani nhlanzi ivuke instantly. So I just, oh my goodness, I'm so, every time when they meet, I get very anxious. Ukuthi laba, they will kiss and babanjwe very soon. Are we not going to have something like that? Because I need that drama. Thank you.
So there was a brother in the other B word, the pages. Actually, we are not saying books anymore. There was a brother who had a thing for Ushomu, like throughout. So maybe they are using Kawe as that brother, because if you see Mkoti in the, I think it was Mkoti, in the TV show, it's not the kind of it's not the kind of character that would, you know. So I think they are using Kawe for that. So he's probably going to still have that thing for Shlomo even after he meets a Naledi, if there is a Naledi coming. So I think, wait, who do I go to next? Sika, did you want to respond to the Majola Brothers thing before I go to the next speaker? I think Super Seho is the next one. Seho.
Sorry, I just got disconnected. Can you just catch me up? What was the question?
Noah was asking. Noah, please ask your question about the Majola Brothers.
Yes.
When do they die? When are you calling us as extras? This is what she's
done at. Kati, you want a whole spoiler? I don't know. Maybe
I'm on the Majola Brothers' side, by the way.
Maybe they're not going to die.
That is a look amazing.
No, but you
can the Majola Brothers.
Yeah.
Can the Majola Brothers die after they tell the Zulu brothers that Dlakadla is the one who killed their parents? Can they not die now? No, guys, you can't.
There's an episode that's coming. So when we were talking about it in the writer's room, I won't get into details on what it's about. But I think it's an episode that you guys are going to really like a lot, because it shows sort of the history of the Majolas and the Zulus and Udlakadla sort of origin story. It's an episode that we call the Night of the Long Knives. I think you guys are really gonna like that, and it's gonna sort of tie things up quite nicely.
When is it coming? Is it next week? Because I don't know if the spaces will still be happening if it delays.
I think no, it's not gonna come next week. It's gonna come the week after that.
Okay, I'm just teasing you, Sisi, but thank you. Thank you.
Please, whenever you can, don't start.
Okay. All right, so let me go to Seho, Didi.
Hi, guys. So, Nami, I'm on the Majola train, like, bang irritate. And now I didn't read the books, but I'm really enjoying the show. The issue that I have with Abo Majola is the way they speak. I mean, I'm not Zulu, but they always put, like, things that are not necessary. Like, that's not how Abantu bakhuluma. Like, today, when I was watching, I think it was episode 14, and he said something about isinamuva liyabukwa. I'm like, but how do you even hold a conversation by putting that in? You know, it was just weird. And Abo, when the brothers went to Gabo Luntuzan, Gabo Shomu, why were they not dressed in like traditional attires to show uti yagu mkwenyana and stuff? For me, those were the things that were kind of like, you know, I wanted like more. I don't know if that makes sense.
we are hearing you perfectly. You're making perfect sense. All right, I'm gonna go to Babalwa. Are you next? Oh yeah. Oh, Babalwa disappeared. Bebeti.
She was actually.
Bebeti.
Hi, guys. My favorite part or scene today was actually at the rank when Mkhwele was proposing, obviously. But I liked it when Shlomo was saying, "Kuyagucwa bo." For me, that was the cutest thing, like, even the way she said it. And also, guys, on the Majola stories, I'm also for them. Not necessarily for them, but we need a balance. We can't just, like, watch Mkhwele and Shlomo's love story. There needs to be a balance. Also, another thing I just wanted to add, the first time I saw the episode 1, as much as we've all been saying Shlomo is actually fitting for the character, but I thought they could have gone with someone like Usisi, the singer, right? And then today when I saw Sisi performing, for me, that was like deja vu. I'm not sure if it's making sense. But the first time I saw the series, I was like, I think Sisi could have made a better Shlomo, but I'm not sure. Maybe I was wrong. But to see her perform today, for me, that was like, wow. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, that's all I wanted to say. Thanks, Ledo, for the space.
Thanks, ma'am. Yeah, I think we people probably had, like, you know, different faces in mind when they thought of the characters and who could play what character, like how I thought that guy could play Muzi Mthabela, could be Nkosana. You know, we all had these characters. But here's the guy who's playing Nkosana now, and he's really convincing and he's good and everything. I personally think Mbalenhle is perfect as Hlomo. But yes, somebody else might think, you know, another person would have done a better job. So, I'm gonna hand over to Star Zesi because you've got your hand up, and then I'm gonna go to Jabu after you.
Okay, so there's something else that I forgot to mention that you said, Lelo, about Mkhele not mentioning that he had left because he had beat up Hlomo. So I actually think that he was scared to mention it because he probably knew that his brothers were going to like beat him up, knowing how confrontational they are with each other. Because remember the other time when they went to Ngoba's tavern and Kosana was beating him up. So he probably thought of the same thing that, oh my word, I'm also going to get a beating. So yeah.
Okay, you're right. Possible. But because ba violent nje laba fana shame yo. Jabu.
Hi guys. So I mean, I just want to comment on Hlomo and the fact that she's frustrating me, because I feel like she's getting all the evidence and she's at a position whereby she's supposed to like know or be absolutely sure that this is all happening behind her nose, because like everything that's happening, somehow she's getting like bits and pieces of the evidence and she's just not putting the pieces together. And at the same time, I'm thinking that maybe Uyazi, but she just doesn't want to admit to it, because there was a scene whereby Akuluma no, the other brother, who's the other brother? Okawe.
With Kawe.
And she was like, yeah. And she was like, he didn't do it. Koda, what was she talking about there?
You are so right. I also wondered, Uti, it wasn't him, but what are we talking about? Because then it doesn't mean you know about the robberies. All right. Keys and Ayanda, do you want to respond to this? Keys first?
Yes. Okay, cool.
I think honestly, like, I don't want to, like, misinterpret it as anything more than a figure of speech. That's why Kawe kept saying, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And never gave into what she was saying. It was just like a figure of speech, and then like I think meant to confuse us. But I do want to say, after Uchabu, Miss Neo, and then we have Sarah, and then Sedi. Like, let's, you know, what happened to Sedi? Is Miss Neo gonna say something, and then Sarah's gonna say something, and Sedi?
I think Sarah and Jeff wanted to say something, Keith. I don't have my hand up yet.
I'm so confused when I, Keith, Ayanda was after you, and then we'll go to the other peeps.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay. So, as a journalist, right? Abekabanda bajolelwa or who are made fools more than journalist. So you would be the like one of the best you know political journalists or investigative journalists in the country. But at home, yo, awujolelwa. Everything is happening. Cause you know why? When we go into relationships, you don't go in as Ayanda, Intatheli, Ayanda the journalist, into a relationship. So that's why Naya, she is picking these things up, but Hlomo is still, you know, stigmatized, and she's in love. So she's not picking it up with Aman. No. This person I'm sleeping with the serial killer next to me, but she just doesn't know. Yet she'll be the first to know where is the serial killer, and yet that not the one that she's dating. So it's also painting Lando Guti. You could be, you know, the best detective, but your wife will be the biggest con artist. So she's one of the best journalists and worst investigative ones, but she is failing to smell the coffee under her own nose. So yeah, that's where izinto azijolelwa wejabu intatheli buya ngokuzolala.
I appreciate the way Ayanda just humanized Hlomo and gave her grace. I appreciate that. Is it just me?
So awesome. Sarah?
Good evening, everyone. First of all, I think, guys, just to jump on the last speaker, when you are in love, we all know that for whatever reason, our eyes are closed. So you can be like the best detective on God's earth, and they will still make a fool of you. Fear in daughter, good people. But more than that, I actually had two points that I wanted to make to go back. So I read the books before the series was ever a thing, not many years ago, but when the books first came out, I read all of them. And just before the series came back on now, I went back and I read all of the books again. And what I realized, at least for me, in the first three or four episodes, there are certain gaps in the books that the series is now actually filling in for us. Because in the books, if you remember, there's that time when Bomkhele leaves Hlomo with the kids for, I think, about 4 or 5 days. And we don't know what they were doing in that time. Like, if you read the books, you don't actually know what the brothers were doing, what they were involved in, or anything like that. And so the series, for me, what it's done is that it's filled in some of those gaps, even though things are not necessarily the same as what is in the books. But there are certain places where essentially what the series has done is that it's filled in a gap where we know that something was happening, but we don't know what it was that was happening, because in the books, we are looking at the story from Mahlomu's perspective. So now that we're able to look at the full story, it actually, for me, brought the story together, where now I'm like, oh, okay, so this is what was happening. This is the danger that Mkhaila kept talking about, and why he was so, you know, and why all of the brothers were like, she has to sit in the house with the kids and all of that. Because to me, when I first read the books, I thought, that's a little weird, a little controlling. Not sure how I feel about all of that. But as soon as I then saw in the series, but there's all of this stuff that's going on, it then filled those gaps for me personally. And then the second point is that, good people, I'm stressed by Kawe, Mkhaila, and Hlomo. Didn't that stress? That whole storyline is stressing me out. Because it means that okay, that's all.
Did you hear what Sihle said? Sihle said there's 40 episodes per book. And
they're going to ruin Naledi and Somu's relationship. I don't want this thing.
Maybe, but it, yeah. I don't know how they're going to spin it, but again, inspired by. So, Zessi, did you want to respond to something Sarah said?
Yes, but you guys, do you remember, I think it was 2 weeks back when I said, I think that Chloe might not be the one who's going to fall in love with Naledi because of how they've just switched things up. Okay, back to what Sarah was saying. I think another thing that they are doing with the series is that they are using the two books that followed after Naledi, Ikunga and Mess, more particularly Ikunga, because in that book, they go back to fill in all the gaps that that were missing in the first three books, which were Hlomo, Zandile, and Naledi. So I think they're also using that book to actually fill in the gaps that were in those books and use them in the series. I don't know if I'm making sense.
I'm struggling with my microphone keys.
Can I make a comment to that?
Yes, please.
I think, like, as these spaces have proceeded, we are making a deliberate effort to divorce ourselves and distance ourselves from the quote-unquote pages, right? And then, you know, you can take a theme and you can spin it whichever way that you want. For me, I think in the pages, we try not to go there. We really, really try not to go there in these spaces where Nkosi is the person that's being replaced with Kawe, for instance, as the other brother that is infatuated with Somu. I think in the book, it's easier to like say or write or illustrate. However, once you appoint faces and people, maybe the chemistry was not there with Nkosi and with, you know, the real life Nkosi and the real life Somu. It didn't translate. It made more sense with Kawe, maybe because of the age, maybe because of whatever. I know there's a petition right now on Twitter and on Instagram or whatever to get that young lady that is like the quintessential lazy Makoti, that Kimang Babalo, that makes, you know, this content of like, you know, and then everyone is just petitioning for her to be the Naledi. But when we met Naledi, she was 29 years old, 30 years old. That girl looks 21 years old, right? And Kawe looks the age that he looks. So maybe like certain things are easier to write in a book, but they don't translate well on screen. So maybe we have to like move certain parts. But one thing that has remained true is the fact that Kawe is the first person to pick up that Mkhele was physically abusive towards Somu. And that's something that he carried with him. And, you know, he took personally. So I think I actually do not care which one of the brothers is infatuated with Somu. Let it come how it comes or whatever. But I'm still holding out for Naledi.
I think Naledi is definitely coming. Because we can't, you know, for however many seasons, just focus on Somu Nomkhele. We want some flavor beyond the Majola brothers, please. So there's just one other scene that I did not like. Like, that made me not like Somu. Because I was just like, how can you be so stupid? You know, the scene where Langa is the one with sense and who's talking to her about, but this guy did this to you and is he defending Umkhele? No, I love him. And abantu bathanda nayo, they forgive each other. I did not like that at all. I didn't like seeing Somu like that. I don't know, Somu is this person who's got sense, man. Yes, she goes back to Umkhele, but to have her speak like that and defend him like that was very disappointing for me to hear. And you know, okay, this was a stupid thing, but it made me laugh. Langa's reaction made me laugh when there was that bodyguard, like, who is smiling, but he's a bodyguard who's supposed to be ruthless and tough, and telling him Ukuthi he can't go out. And I was laughing at Langa's reaction in that scene. So yeah, what did you guys think of Somu in that respect? And also, guys, Usandile akabethanga kakhulu Mosne. If he still manages to go to uMemulo, bambethe kancinci. Neo.
Yes, Vinine. Indaba kaLanga, I will say, he has come into his own. I think even the dialogue and how he speaks to his sister is actually really funny. That first episode, actually, Langa arrives, is it morning or is it afternoon? Because he's having wine and Somu is going to work. That very scene that you're talking about, little way, Somu's defending Umkhele. And I think for me, the worst part about her dialogue there was where she said, abantu that love each other, forgive each other, futhumthengi limoto. I was just like, I do not know who this Somu is. Because something like that would have never been, you know, something that bizomkhaza, but clearly. Yeah, it is what it is for this. And Ulanga, again, when the bodyguard is telling her sorry, he can't go, and he's like, KwaZulu, mina ngiyahamba. And he does that whole comment about, hey, to go is to see. I absolutely love that. I do feel like he is starting to come across, even the scene with the mom where he's like, and I hope to see more of that, because I think he has taken a bit of, you know, I've taken a bit of time to warm up to him. But I think in these past couple of episodes, I have seen him come through. I'm still not seeing the chemistry between him and Somu. But I think him as a character is developing quite well.
I agree with you.
Yeah. I don't know what his endgame is. Because you're right. After that whole episode, him arriving and still wanting to instigate the brothers did not make sense. So it must be a death wish, or because he feels it seems like he had home ground advantage, which also I found odd, because at the end everybody came out to almost defend him, which is something that I hadn't picked up before. But I guess that's another theme that's coming through. So it'll be interesting to see when the wedding in Umembeso happens, how that is going to be. Because he's still not getting his baggage at all.
Yep. Let me go to Mazwane, and then I'll come to Sedibe after. Mazwane.
Hi everyone. I hope I am audible. I like today's episodes compared to last week, and I wanna mention a few things. In the Vagakari no Shum, I think I'm the only one who's actually happy with the their plot and their story, because I feel like Shumu needs someone on her side, you see he's abusive, he's all these things. So I feel like she needs someone in the family who she can go to, and tell Mkhale's doings. And even in the book, I remember when Mkhale beat Shumu for the first time, Kawe was the one who came to her and said, I know Uzi, he did this and that, and he's not going to do it again. So I think I'm happy that they're showing the relationship, no Kawe in the book. And I know people are not happy with him being in love with her and him, Afuna Yena, but like we all said, he can't be the person who falls in love with Usomu first. And another thing, I'm a gift to Mkhale. I don't like them because they feel kind of manipulative somehow. Because he beat her up. Now he's buying her a car for what reason? It's kind of like he even bought her a car because Bafuna Uta accepted him a proposal. Because if I'm not mistaken, the proposal happened on the same day with when he bought her a car, right? So I'm not happy with all those things, and I kind of understand which the writers are doing their own. They're doing their own twist, but there are moments there are scenes in the book that we love, and I feel like they're depriving us those moments. Because when Mkhale bought from Mueka, it was kind of like when after Bamlobolile, and it was like a gift to her, and like, thank you for being my wife and stuff. But now in the book, it seems like no, he's buying her a car because Ufuna accepts a proposal in some sort. So yeah. And another thing, Somu's aunt, I don't know if you guys spoke about this, but like, where is she? Like, these are one of the things that kind of like, annoying me, because I loved her in the book and I was hoping we were going to see her. Like, Amaraisas, I know they're doing their own thing, but Galavang has deprived me out of the things that we love in the book. Like, there's just certain things that they cannot change. So I'm hoping to see her in the Lobola negotiations, but I was thinking about her the entire time I was watching Memories, how is she going to be there? Is she going to be here and stuff? But yeah, that's my two cents.
When they are busy, Gabo Majol. Keys?
Mazwane, one comment only. We need to divorce ourselves from the B words, okay? Because you deprive yourself of literally enjoying the series for what it is and the things that are not in the pages, okay? That Memulo scene was inspired, that prayer scene was inspired. All of these moments are things that are not, written down. So we try in this space, Lelo, correct me if I'm wrong, to not be so attached to the pages that we cannot allow ourselves to the fact that, and my heel is always Mpande, okay, somebody that was a B character in the pages and is now a star in the series. So I never, everybody gets one thing to cry about. One thing and one thing only. I think it's Steady Bear's turn.
Hi guys.
We can hear you, Steady. Hello. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
So, this batch of episodes, I think I've enjoyed the most so far. And this was the first time while watching the episodes where I wasn't constantly like, oh my God, in the pages, this didn't happen this way. I think I enjoyed them for the most part. The thing that frustrated me the most throughout the episodes is how chilled the Zuzu brothers are. Like, all this shit is happening around them, and it's like no one is waking up to see Hore. No, man, Mara, something is wrong. It's like they're just letting the Majola brothers just get away literally with murder. Like, all this shit is happening around you guys, and like, there's no one just sitting there thinking, Hore, no, man, something is wrong. Like, this is too out of character. Things like this can't just be happening. Our house can't just be burning down out of nowhere. That was like the first thing. Like, the way they're so chilled about things really frustrates me. However, I hope that it will get to a point where they start connecting the dots or no, man. Because I literally feel like they let the Majola brothers just come back. And it's like, oh yeah, ish, we killed your dad and your brother. Ne, Mara, all forgiven, we're gonna take your roots and then you guys must just deal. Sandile, he's safe. Yo, I've never seen a more annoying human being than Sandile. Like, take your L, my dog, and move on. Like, all of a sudden, he has all the time for Shomu now. Why are you driving all the way to Durban? When Shomu got hurt, you couldn't even stay 2 minutes to, like, comfort her. Oh, yeah, you're in a protest. Ish. Hari. Mara, now you're driving all the way to Kwamashu, to her family's home, to go try and make it rain. Nah, guys. Like, where was all this energy before in the 7 years budget? But yeah, anyway, my cry will be every week. Kawe needs to get over Shomu. I get that he's gonna wanna be the protector and the guy she runs to when shit hits the fan with Mkhele and blah blah and so on, but there needs to be a certain level of distance. Like, it's time for him to get a love interest, Nyana. And that love interest doesn't have to be Lerat. Please, let us not go down that route. But yeah, otherwise, chill.
Umoni Lerato, the way Anna Jaiva Gumemulo. I thought, hey, Lerato Gari Yena Lisambulo, there's gonna be something. I don't know why I have that suspicion. So I know Neo has had her hand up for a while. Neo, and then after Neo, will come to Ndwani.
Just to comment, I'm happy for Lerato to go to Sambulo. Agazalele, far, far away from Ukab. As long as she's staying far from that, happy she can have Sambulo. Listen. She can go ahead with that. I just wanted to comment on the I don't know who said it. I think Kumazwane, about when Shomu actually received the car, and whether, and I think that theme I actually like, because I do think what the series is trying to do is actually address GBV and what actually does happen. It was very much in the theme of what happens with GBV cases where, you know, you get beaten up and you get a gift. So I'm glad that was brought into the story, because in the pages, it's not addressed. You know, it's a secret. Nobody knows that the abuse is happening. And in this case, her family knows, her brother knows. And we see them almost challenge her about her abuse, which is something that we actually didn't see before. So I actually quite like how the writers are actually exploring that. Another thing in terms of Ukawe, I think with, you know, when he came to the brothers and said, no, it wasn't Umkhele, I was so happy because I feel like he redeemed himself. He's been such like a snot face the whole time, because of his obsession with Shomu and not getting over it. But I think in that moment, you know, he forgot about his obsession and whatever it is with Shomu and remembered that, you know, first things first, Umkhele is his brother. And I was like, there's my Kawe. This is the Kawe I've been waiting to see. So I was very happy with that scene, that at least Nkosiyam, he can't always be the ass in each and every episode. So I'm glad about that. And then my last comment, about the Zulu brothers. Yes, Bazumegile at the moment. Literally things are happening under their eyes. They can't see it. But what I love about that is when they find out, guys, I can't wait for that rage. I can't wait for the strategy from Kosana. I can't wait for them to go buck wild when they know that things have been happening under their noses. and who actually did it. That's why Ngithi, Sibashisa, Nino Macho, can't wait for that. Let them bazumege now, because they're building up the rage, and it's going to be beautiful. Yeah, that's it from me.
Thanks, Neo. I hope that's definitely going to be the case. Ntwani, the devil wears Brooks Max. Yo.
Oh, sorry. That's from Housewives. So, going to start off by saying I am glad I did not read the source material. Wanted to for quite some time, but much like Harry Potter, it's one of those things where I watched the movies before getting a chance to read the source materials. And, you know, the show is really proof to why sometimes it's really best to not read the source material when there is an adaptation of that. I really am enjoying the series. We have a lot of series that do try to tackle GBV, but fail or rush through things or don't deal with like really important things. And, you know, I think they are in a very short time even, which is weird, they still manage to deal with like the conversations with your friends and your family when they do find out, the insistence on a secrecy even when it is very much obvious to everyone else around you, and they're opening up saying, let us in, tell us what's happening so that we can help you, you know, but still wanting to shut them out because, you know, you have that belief that, you know, this is, you know, whether it's temper or one time or mistake, whatever it is, but you have that belief in your relationship, no matter how stupid it looks to everybody else. I do want to say from the get-go, I have just been seeing Shlomo as like, the biggest clown ever. I can't even say it, like, she went into this, I don't even know where she dived from, but she dove into a dangerous situation and said, this is, I stalked her, kidnapped her, like manipulated her. And then even after all of those things, she was like, okay, great, great. When are you who stalks me every day? You're the one. Yes, must surely. That's weird. And then his family beat up her fiance. And she was like, I actually don't care because he wasn't fun enough, you know. Sure, I get it. She was bored with her life, but they had made a plan. They've known each other for quite some time. I will cap for Sandile. He's not a bad guy. You know, he just happens to work. And he actually did take time off at the hospital to see her because he's a surgeon. It wasn't his job to look after her. He took a break. He went to see her, see if it's fine, checked up on her. And after he saw that she was fine, yeah, now also uyakwata for ukuthi Sandile can't leave work to go and chill with her, which is bizarre, really. Like, bizarre. She's dumb. I hope Kawe continues to be hopelessly infatuated with her and not find a love interest so that he can somehow protect her, because he knows how dangerous his brother is and told her, you know, that this person is dangerous, and even told the brother that I know you're going to do something to fuck her up. I mean, that was a very scary warning of like, you kill everything beautiful that you touch to your own brother. You know, so I hope he continues being hopelessly infatuated with her. I love Mandisa. I hope to see more of her. I was very hurt that she wasn't in any of these three episodes, especially since they went to an entire celebration. Why didn't they bring Mandisa along? And I actually can Lerato not be anywhere next to Sambulo? Okay, can he? Wow, please, guys, not the one character I am in love with being surrounded by all of that drama of Lerato. Can he be with someone chill like him? Yeah, thanks.
You know, I'm also liking Usambulo, to be quite honest. And it's like every time he speaks, man, he's so measured. He's so calm. He's like, I'm really, really liking Usambulo. Okay, Keys, I'm going to get you to make your comment, and then I'm going to go to Zesi, then Babalwa, Sarah, and Temi. So it's Keys, you're going to make your comment, then Zesi, Babalwa, Sarah, and Temi after.
The only comment that I have, I saw a tweet today that says, you know, the wife on Showmax is promoting GBV. And I think we've spoken about this in our previous spaces where we said art does not have an obligation to be responsible. It just has an obligation to be honest. And all of these depictions are not far removed from reality. So I think let's not place like an unrealistic responsibility on art. The truth is the truth. These scenarios happen more often than not.
Thank you, Kizesi.
Okay, so this time around, and I noticed something that I think it was Keys who mentioned it 2 weeks ago, where she said she thinks that Sambulo is portrayed to be older than Kawe in the series, rather than the other way around. I noticed that because I think it was episode 14 or 13 where Kawe called Sambulo Putomdala. So I was like, oh, okay. So in the series, Sambulo is the older one than Kawe.
Oh.
No, they seem to be like, the order in which they're born is still the same. I think the argument was that Usambulo looks older than Umkhele no Kawe. But it's just like one of those things where like things translate better in, you know, the viewer than it does like on camera. But it's still the same. Like the order in which that they were born is the same. I'm loving this fanfare, Usambulo, by the by.
It's different. Okay, it's not the same, the order that they are born in. Because Ukawe, I heard him. I heard him. I'm gonna go and check which scene it was where Ukawe called Usambulo Putomdala. So Shuti Lana in the series, Usambulo is older than Ukawe.
I thought that too, but I saw their tweets as they're tweeting and like in their like random interviews. It seems like they've kept the order in which that they were born. I honestly thought that Sambulo was older. He looks older in real life. But what's crazy is that could they have found a better Sambulo? They could not have. Like that strong, quiet demeanor. I'm talking too much. Should let somebody else talk.
Babalwa?
I absolutely agree. Actually, I think Sambulo is my favorite. Every time I see him, I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy, oh my gosh. I actually can't wait to see him unfold, like his character unfold even more. I hear people speaking about Ukawe no, nobody no, na lady, guys, I want to meet Ukawe. Like, I really, having seen Sambulo, I'm just like, I can't wait for their story to unfold, actually. So, guys, so much has happened. I've watched these three episodes and I'm confused as hell. I heard Uprava, I forgot his name, speaking about, yes, you know what, the episodes have to be short and so forth. And I completely understand that. But then the episodes will always be short. So I feel like it's always going to be, there's always going to be missing links, right? And I think sometimes it really does suck, and I guess these spaces do help for us to be able to, you know, unravel or just speak more into it. I'm watching with people that currently have not read the books, and they are hating Uhlomo. I think it was Ndwani that was speaking just now, and she was just saying, Uhlomo is such a clown. And the thing is, I know earlier we spoke about how we need to divorce ourselves from the book, and I completely agree because this is something completely different that is inspired. However, I think if the wife would not be what it is, the series now, if we hadn't read the books. And I think that the people that have read the books are keeping it alive, and I think we are the ones, because I keep saying to these guys, for instance, but guys, this is not it. Like, there's a story behind this, and obviously, and we're the people that are saying that, yes, an episode is short, so this and this and this could be happening. So I think that as much as we want to, but we fill in the gaps and we help understand the bigger story. Yes, we are very frustrated. However, we still do bring so much content to what, you know, is not able to be shown out there. So I think as much as we want to throw away, but we are helping this out so much. And in fact, people are going out to buy the books because they are just like, no, actually, I have no idea what just happened in the three episodes.
So yeah, I just love that we are the ones creating the hype. And I guess, you know, I don't want us to always diminish, you know, what the books are doing to the series as well. I think they're working both well hand in hand, and we are also keeping them, as much as we get very frustrated and we write off people very quickly. But yeah, and then, yeah, lastly, I think, oh, I wanted to say, a lot of people said, you know what, Ukawa is so protective of Vulindlela, and they're obviously scared of that relationship. Even in the book, sorry, B word, even there, Ukawa was so protective. He was the one actually that would always notice Uhlomo, you know, when she was hurt by Umkhele, and always there. And so I just want to say, I don't think Naledi coming in is going to be very weird, because he's always been that guy that, you know, just has this protective instance of her. In fact, all the brothers. And that's why I was like, I was disappointed that no one said what Ulendoza Umkhele did, because Mambetile, like, the minute they found out that is what, you know, he did, you know, they really were not okay with what he did, and they put him in his place. And I was waiting for that, you know, for him to be disciplined. But in Dr. Ainsland, I mean, I think he even said, Ungosana, before, but, you know, we don't hit women and stuff. We've never done that, and it's not going to start with you. So I think I'm very keen to see, maybe it's still going to come that they find out what he actually did, and for Kao to just, you know, cover it up and stuff. I know maybe it's still going to unravel that he's upset about it, but I was just like, this can't just die, because I mean, that then, you know, encourages that, you know, we can't speak out, blah 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 blah. They need to discipline Umkhele for it, and that's the kind of family that they are, Unongo as well. So, yeah, so very confused about these episodes. Ntsika as well. I'm just seeing Ntsika doing things. I'm just like, you're the last board. What are you doing? But then, yeah, I'm also excited to see where his story is going to end up. Yeah, that's it from me for now.
Thank you, Babalwa. Thank you, thank you. All right. I think Tammy is next, then Sarah, and then we'll come to Robin and Cruz Queen. Tammy?
Yeah. Okay, guys. Piece adaptation, and there's just some things we do not see from the pages, ne? But something niggles me, and I'll touch on what Babalwa said about the missing threads. The adaptation itself, I feel like this. I don't have the words to explain it, but as I'm watching the story, I feel like there's just too many loose ends that are left. I don't know whether they're gonna be tied together towards the end, but even if the episodes are short, I feel like, you know, the story could be compact and be put in within those minutes that we see. And it's just something that has been bothering me, and I've been noticing it with all the episodes, and I don't know if I'm being too picky or too finicky. It's not about the adaptation itself, but the way it's presented to us. I don't know if I'm making sense. Outside of that, I have love for the Zulu brothers. And, yeah, the love-hate relationship with Umkhele. Oh, Nkosiyam, Umkhele, Umkhele, Nkosiyam. Yay, angazi. But something that does bother me is, and I've been wanting to vent about it, is the complete change in how Uhlomo met the kids, and even how the kids are missing in all these other episodes that we've seen. I felt like that was such an important thing, especially when we consider how family is important to the Zulu brothers. And also Ntsika. Hi, guys. He was never so fully involved in everything. But other than that, yeah, it's just this niggling thing about these loose ends that I keep on seeing. And I hope it gets better as we get into the series. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm happy, I suppose. All right, I'm done.
That laugh says you are happy. Sarah is next.
I just wanted to actually go back to what Gia said about GBV, but before, actually, yeah, let me just speak to that. In as much as I think Keith is completely correct in saying that art and is supposed to imitate life, right? In watching or in putting together the show, we might be looking at Lomu as people on the outside looking at her and saying, you are such a dumbass for going back to this guy after he beat you, after he did whatever it is. But isn't that what women in abusive relationships do? I think everybody at some point has had a friend, a family member or whatever who has been abused, and you are sitting on the outside and you are looking at the situation and you're like, but why don't you just leave? Or why did you accept that gift? Or why did you do this or that or the next thing? But this is how it plays out in a lot of instances where people are being abused. So for me, even on the pages, when I first read and saw how she went back to him after he had beat her up the first time, I actually felt sorry for her more than I felt like she was stupid, because I was like, this happens, or this is exactly how it happens. Umduya beat her the first time, and then there's a big gesture of love or commitment or apology, and they accept that. So for me, this is it's a depiction of what actually happens in abusive relationships. And for me, that made me sympathize with her and feel sorry for her. And to an extent, I guess I understand why you would find yourself in a situation where you are making yourself a fool for a man, or at least everybody else thinks that you're making yourself a fool for a man, and yet we're now yamtand. And because when we are tanda, I also put my relationship, and you're going to keep forgiving him until you are done. So Plomo wasn't done, and I don't think that it's fair to call her stupid for it.
Yeah. Thanks, Sarah. You're making a whole lot of sense. Robin, Robin Thornbeck forever.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, you know, I'm listening to everybody talk about the series, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so jealous of you guys, because I read the materials. I don't want to say the other word that you guys don't want to say, but I read it, and I am so jealous. Like, I haven't watched the series, not even a single one. So as you're talking, I'm actually making up, oh, which page is this? So this is where they are. But anyway, obviously, I think reading a book before the watching the series, it's going to be a little bit different when you go and watch the actual series, because you feel like the people you had in your head are not the same as the ones in the series. And somehow going back to Umkhele, I feel like that happened to me a long time ago when I was a teenager. I was 18 years old. One time my uncle found me on the street with the boy, and he beat the boy. And then instead of me running home, I actually was mad at my uncle, and I went with the boy. So it happens, Uguti, when you see someone who is who you like and then being beaten up, that actually makes you fall in love with them way more than what they did to you. Like, you forget everything, Jay. I don't even know, Uguti, how that chemistry or that psychology work, but it happens. That's all I wanted to say. And anyway, is there a way I can get someone to FaceTime me while watching the series? Because we don't
have America. Are you in America, sis?
Yeah, but...
Oh, because I'm like, yeah, this is so sad. We will FaceTime you, Robin, ne? All right. Annelie, le?
Thank you. Hi, everybody. So I definitely took a break. The break is probably going to last for 2 days anyway, and I'll continue streaming. But only because I felt like it's going very fast, and there's a lot of the finer details that we're missing. So that first week, I let go of the book, which was difficult, and just watched it for it being a series, right? But it's fast, man, you know, and you're like, I'm not feeling I don't know how to make a production. I only know how to be a viewer, and maybe if there were like diary series or or Shomu telling us how she feels more, or Shomu just talking with a friend, you know, to tell us how she feels about how badly beaten she was. Because that was such a big beating. It was very barbaric. And, you know, so I feel like we're rushing through a few of the details, and it might be a missed opportunity to get the gender-based violence psyche out, you know, for us to study it or for people to know it. Because with the wife, we're finding people who are typically not in spaces like these and in spaces where, you know, activists talk in the way that they talk and advise and things like that. I do think it might be a missed opportunity, because it just feels like it's no man. For that beating, for a lunch, you know, with a little note, because she doesn't even talk to her twin brother in that, like, you know, that way that I would bring the viewer in so that we understand how she's making these decisions. Yeah, so my advice to everyone is to let go of the book. It's definitely not the book. It's definitely not the book. The series is very violent, very uncomfortably violent, which raises other issues around Zulu economics, taxi rank economics and the economy of that and all of that, you know, into like our mainstream media type of view and onlook on the tribe and things like that. And the love story, I think, needs more attention, because we just, yeah, but those are just my feelings. But I love it. I love it for us. I love it for Dudu. I love it for the actors.
Yeah.
It's all nice. It's all nice. Yeah, and all we can do really is chat a little bit, but I'm not trashing it at all. I think it's great.
No, we hear you, Annalita. Thank you so much. Cruz Queen, you've been wanting to speak, Shay Maskis.
Hi, everyone. We're in light of everything that everybody has been saying. My takeaway this week was, firstly, yeah, the three brothers are my favorite as always. I'm talking about Nsika, Bande, and Mkofi, and they made my week this week. They definitely did. The annoying thing that I didn't like about these episodes this week is the disunity that is between the brothers. Even with the weeks before, like the type of fights that they have from, yes, I did read the book. From the book, you know that it's the head of the house, the Nkosana, and whatever he says goes. So seeing the discord, especially with how Kawe went on about Mkhele being involved in the betrayal, it didn't make sense to anybody, especially me. I was like, how did you even, why? You are just being bitter, okay, full stop. But we are going to let it slide because you're trying to be messy. Yeah. So, yeah, that was the one thing that I didn't like. And then about the Majolas are annoying, brah. They are Iskefe that is, I can't with them. Hey, I can't. So then I feel like, thank God we have got the skip button, the 10-second button. I love it for that because I can just skip them if I don't want to watch them. And then Sandile, I think this Sandile, this doctor, the one that will keep on coming back to Shomu and being pressing and whatnot, is the type of Sandile that I wanted even in the book. Because Sandile is just a ghost ninja that comes out of nowhere in the book. So here on the series, you seeing that he did care, but he was nonchalant about the whole thing. Now he is here wanting his woman back. Yes, I like that. That I like because I'm devious like that. So yeah, I love that. So, but in terms of us trying to step away from or separating the series from the book, I think we should do that. We should enjoy the series. Okay, that's what I'm doing. I'm enjoying the series as much as it presents itself to me. But those little things that, like I'm saying, like the disunity and the discord and the chaos, and sometimes it doesn't sound as genuine as it did in the book. Especially with the relationship between Kawe and Kaede. Like for me, whatever happened this week, but it didn't make sense because those are the two guys that will share whatever they their mess ups are to each other before they even get to the brothers. So by the time you're hearing the fight and whatnot between the two of them over there, it doesn't even make sense. But I'm willing to let go of it because I can see that it's something that maybe will build up to something that is better in the future. So I'm willing to let go of those things now.
Okay, my darling. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. Keys, I think you want to respond and then we'll go to Miss Mabinza.
I think in response, I just want to say that, like, after, like, listening to everyone, I think, like, in as much as we try to, like, distance ourselves from the book or whatever, I realize that this space, like, kisapot group of people that have read with, they've read the book and, like, there's discord with, you know, what they know from the book and what's being depicted in the series. You know, kisapot group, I loved what Babalwa said, is, like, you know, essentially those of us that have read the books are the ones that are, like, bringing the hype and making everybody interested. So that is fair. That is something that is very fair to say. However, I think maybe I just have, like, we can't keep expressing, like, disappointment, you know, of the distance between the book and the series. Like, I think it's counterproductive. But, you know, it is what it is. Like, kisapot group, we're here to fill in the gaps for those that didn't read the books and whatever. But I will say that I really am enjoying, like, the suspension. When Shumu got the call about a story from an unknown number and an unknown person and saying there's a JSE story, I thought it was like the Majola brothers. You know, up until, like, when she got to the taxi rank and then, like, that dancer, like, appeared, you know, in the, you know, from wherever they appeared from, you know, like, when she jumped, I jumped. You know, like, what the hell, you know? So I'm enjoying that I'm still being surprised as somebody that read the book, not just once, not just twice, not just three times, but, like, honestly, in these past couple of weeks, because the three episodes were not enough, that's how I've filled my time, is going back to reread the books, you know? So I think Ms. Via wants to say something, but... that's what we should call the space, Ms. Lelo. I don't know how you
Kiz, I actually agree with you, and I, especially when you're saying, Hore, we must, you know, because it's almost as if it's becoming monotonous now, because, you know, we all talking about how far it is from the book and the gaps and everything. And I do appreciate that little now we feel it, but maybe for this space to continue to be interesting, we kind of have to agree rules of engagement from the beginning. Hore, guys, we've already agreed on 1, 2, 3. Let's agree this is what we are not, you know, we are not gonna, you know, talk about, because we've kind of agreed on this and this and that. Otherwise, it's just us repeating our frustrations over and over again. So, Miss, I know Miss Mabinza was first, and then Miss Viwe after her, and then we'll come to Gugu and Sarah. So guys, we are almost wrapping up now, close to wrapping up. So I'm not gonna accept any more speakers, unfortunately. Though, so the guys that are on stage now, I think we kind of have to kind of wrap up. So Miss Mabinza, and then we'll go to Viwe.
Cool. Hi, everyone. For someone who has read the books more than twice, more than three times, I first watched it after my friend had watched it, and I was like, actually, I appreciate the plot twist quite a lot. The fact that Uhlomo went home and spoke about what happened. I'm just like, because in the book she doesn't, she suffers in silence, and nobody knows what's happening but her. The fact that, like, the proposal at the taxi rank, Umkhele actually had a ring. I'm just like, in the book, he didn't. In as much as, Mana, when you read the book, you create your own fairy tale or whatever. But the plot twists and the unexpected when you see the actual series, it's so refreshing for Mana. And I'm just like, in as much as Mana, I had this idea of how everything is going to be, I actually appreciate the fact that I don't know what's going to happen in the next episode or so. So I'm just like, in as much as Mana, yeah, with the expectations and whatnot, and most of the time, and you actually get to watch Inwadi play out, you are disappointed half the time. But I'm just like, the production, the acting is brilliant. So personally, as Amanda, I'm not mad at all. And that's just my two cents.
Thank you, Amanda. And I think I'm seeing a lot of hundreds, so a lot of people agree with you on in the space. Viwe?
Thank you. Thank you for the space. I'm just going to try and be quick with my point so I don't exhaust my time. So I wanted to say, first things first is that obviously the comparison to the book, we can't take that away, but we can just enjoy the series. And I think that the actors are doing a perfect job. They're actually really portraying the characters as best as they can. But I find that I think maybe it's in the writing where they are making a couple of, for me, if I, for lack of a better word, they're making some silly mistakes in the way they're portraying the characters. For example, if you look at Uhlomo, she seems like a very naive girl, like a person who's materialistic, the way she's so taken aback by the car, the money now, and how he won her back with the food and everything. So for me, it's not really the essence of what Uhlomo was, a very strong character who's not intimidated or fazed by any material, materialistic type of thing. And I also feel like Umkhele is a bit exaggerated in the way he's portrayed. Like, he's very possessive in the telenovela. He's also very stalkish and, you know, it's like a sociopath in a way. But I mean, even when you read the book, he's a very assertive, charming young man. He's not as, excuse me, sorry for that noise. In the book, he seems a bit, like stalkerish. So, and also I find the brother, three little brothers, I know maybe they need comical relief, but I find them to be so childish and silly and noisy. And I'm like, really, do they really need to talk about this, like to portray them like this? I also find the beef between Khele and Kawe quite unnecessary because it kind of breaks the unity that you know with the brothers. I don't know why they are going with the story that Kawe likes Uhlomo. We know in the book it comes out, it's very brief. It's like a by the way thing. But now they are very obsessive about it. And then the last point that I want to make, just so that I can wrap up, is that now, I also find this, the question mark that Kawe had about Umkhele maybe being the one who was sabotaging them also quite silly because I'm like, and the way they just quickly let it go. For me, if they were to carry on with that angle, even when Umkhele proposed to Uhlomo and no one was in the house and there was an attack on the house. If that was the story, Kawe should have still questioned and said, but why? Why are you the one who said we must leave and then conveniently there's a fire and so they just plotted there, they just let it go. So I just feel like I'm enjoying the series, but a lot of untied loose ends and unnecessary loose ends for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Viwe. And one of the speakers earlier was saying, Ubuti, I can't remember who, just recently, Ubuti, we may not have experience in, you know, creating TV, but we have got like
more than 30 years experience in watching TV, so that surely should count for something. Some of us, anyway. Okay, let me come to Gugu and then Sarah.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for the space once again. Ms. Viewer, you raised a lot of very, very valid points, I must say. Now, my question, I just wanted to ask you guys if anyone is feeling like the series was also, should have been named the Zulu Brothers rather than the wife, because I'm not really getting the wife, Hlomo, her importance. I don't know, when it was named the wife for me, I read the books as well, but I just really got the idea that maybe they're going to delve into how she changed them or her impact in their lives, how she brought them together, how she was like the mother, but she's not really connecting with them like that, you know. And even when she came back now and she saw Mkoku was shot, she was just like, it was so brief, you know, it wasn't really, and she's like, I was gone for 2 minutes or for 2 days and so much drama happened. And for me, it was like, you weren't there for long either, you know, before that, so you didn't change much, girl. Like, I feel like they're focusing a lot on the brothers, so they should have just rather named it the Zulu Brothers. And then another thing, on my part, I've really detached, hey, from the books, I'm not going to lie. I feel like even if the only thing that they've taken are their names, because everything else in there is off. Even their personalities, Ngoba is supposed to be the stylish one. And Goku is supposed to be the charmer boy. There's no way that guy is a charmer boy. Like, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. As for the Majolas, hey, man, Pinkos.
No comments.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm really, really stressed. But okay, we move. I don't know. I feel like we're almost halfway through Hlomo the wife, but it's not Hlanganeng, you know?
Hey, at least we have the books to go back to read. So, Sarah, thanks, Gugune. Thank you so much. I feel your pain. I feel you, my sister. Sarah?
You know, I don't know so much that there's that much. Well, I mean, obviously there are some differences between the pages and the series, and there are things that are completely different, right? And some things are just sort of similar, but then something different happens and you're like, huh? Okay. But remember, the books are written from the perspective of the women. So how she, well, at least the first three books are written from the perspective of the women. So how from, or rather how Mkhele, or the relationship between the brothers is portrayed is as Hlomo sees it, which is not necessarily what the relationship is. So we are getting upset because we're saying that the brothers display so much unity, there's no issues between them, at least in the beginning. But that we say that because we only ever saw them through Hlomo or through Zandile or through Naledi. So in my view, there was never any way that that the series and the books were going to be the same, because then otherwise we would like literally just be following Hlomo around and experiencing or seeing everything that she sees or that she's told, because that's the perspective that the books are written from, not from a full picture. So for me, the fact that there's disunity or there's discord between the brothers is not necessarily an indication that they've moved away from the books. In terms of what the relationship looks like. To me, it's an indication that Hlomo sees the relationship as a relationship that has got so much unity and, you know, nothing can ever come between the brothers. But we actually never knew from the books what was actually happening in the relationship of the brothers from their perspectives. So I think maybe we need to keep that in mind in the episodes going forward, that obviously it's not going to be the same because the perspective is different.
When it is out of, when it, yeah. Keys, you wanna comment?
Yeah, I just, this is my closing remark for the space, because we're nearing the end. But Sarah literally, like, articulated, like, what I was trying to say is that, like, the series tried to make, like, the intangible tangible. You know what I mean? Like certain things, like, was nuance and we picked it up along the way. But it's they're trying to depict it and, like, you know, in the series, because it had always been articulated through Shomu's eyes, but then seeing certain things, it's just like when I was saying, like, I think in, like, the initial space, it's just like, you know, you just have, like, an image, like a depiction, nyana, but, like, you, now you're seeing it, so, and it, there's a, there has to be a distance between what you know and somebody else's lived experience. So, I think she articulated it beautifully. Like, there's no way those two things, were ever going to be the same, because now it's almost as if we're having the battle of the imaginations, you know, where your imagination carried you, versus where mine carried me, versus what Shomu was saying, and how much of any of those interpretations were actual lived experiences. Like, when you close your eyes, can you actually see the inside of a hostel? When you close your eyes, can you actually see, you know, brothers, like, fighting amongst each other? When you close your eyes, can you actually see what unity looks like, you know? So it's like a battle of the imaginations, and I think maybe that's the gift and the curse of, like, you know, writing a book that everyone is, like, so invested in. But yeah, so I think, like, as a closing remark, I just want to say, I think we underestimate the fact that the books were far-fetched, period. Like, the books were far-fetched. To have 8 identical brothers with bug eyes that all have children that look identical, and the books in and of themselves were far-fetched. So the fact that we have these unrealistic expectations of the series to make sense, to be, you know, relatable or tangible, I think is ridiculous. The books in and of themselves were far-fetched, right? And so that's, like, one of my remarks. And the other one is, like, I am on the Majola brothers' side, okay? I'm not saying that they are not annoying, okay? But everybody deserves an opportunity to avenge their father's death and their brother's death. I think the one thing that when we were saying we need to detach ourselves from the book is that, you know, what is the frame? What is the sort of, like, the theme? And so everything else is a moving part. I think the brotherhood for me was stronger in this set of 3 episodes than it has been throughout. The mere fact that the brothers, and I think also, like, the titles are very telling, you know, My Brother's Keeper, and, you know, Where There's Smoke, There's Fire, or whatever, like, the titles themselves are very telling. But the fact that they had just gone through a very traumatic experience, which is having their house burnt down. By the way, is it their house? Like, did Shomu move in Goems in Western Seas? Like, I'm confused. Who lives in that house? But the fact that they had been, like, they are under siege right now, and they abandoned whatever it is that they are currently going through, Hurba Kape, to go to Shomu's memulo. Somebody said, like, you don't see Shomu's impact, but the fact that they would do that for her is telling. And I think, like, what are the bones? The bones is that this is a love story. This is a story about brotherhood, but it's still a crime thriller. So yeah, those are my closing remarks.
Thank you, Keys. I love the way you talk about TV. I could listen to you talk all day. But yeah, guys, I'm going to have to close the space. My crush just sent a message, so I need to go respond. But before that, Inga, we added you because I think maybe you came late. Do you want to make a comment before I go to Neo?
Yes, please. I just want to know, are they, like, the kids are not emphasized enough? Like, we don't see enough of the kids. Are they writing Letu out? Is Letu not going to be there? I just, like, there's some parts I'm just like, oh, is it happening? Is it not going to happen? I'm just like, I get that we're not going to get exactly what happens in the book, but there's like important key aspects. Like, Banabagai, where are the kids now? And did they all go to boarding school after Tlomo paid fees? Like, what is, like, I have little, like, questions, like, here and there.
Yeah, I think we're supposed to believe that Tlomo paid money for the kids to go to, well, not Tlomo, but kind of money. They went to boarding school. Remember when Langa was saying, yo, I can't believe but the lima leng aga cash at the school. So yes, we're supposed to believe that the kids have gone to boarding school. Ngabenje bavele baqala bese boarding school sanga babone, because all they did was ask Ulanga if they should call him auntie or uncle. All right. Now, Miss D, I'm so sorry. I'm not accepting any more speakers. There's a man who's waiting for me to respond. So, my Mkhele, okay, Ongangisha is waiting. No.
Daivo! Not even Kwawe!
Hamba, hamba, Len. Look, my closing remarks is, I think the best thing I've done for myself is I have divorced myself from the book when I watched the series, in terms of what I expect to happen. And I think that's helped me anticipate the storyline more, which is why when I actually do look at the episodes now and I get annoyed where I do, it's purely about the theme of the story, not necessarily about whether it's, you know, linking back to the book or not, because it's going to drive us all crazy. Like, I think this, it's already off the rails, guys. The train has left the platform and it's gone. And I think we all need to just accept that and take the story for what we are seeing. Even if we have to put in, you know, the little, I guess, the gaps here and there. But I think the guy that was on here earlier did explain. And I think we've all commented that these episodes for me seemed like they were very disjointed. And he did say, you know, some of the episodes are not in here or the scenes. So I guess that helps me accept it a bit more. But you know what? I think we do need to accept it for what it is. Even with the brothers' relationship, even if you're very close with your brothers, guys, there will always be discourse at some point. Does not mean they're not your brothers. It does mean that you're close. And I think there's a realism that sometimes this series is bringing, that we might have not seen in the pages. And we need to take it for what it is. Otherwise, it's osangana sonke. So yeah, my closing remarks are, again, you know, we are on episode 15. There's 40 episodes for this. It makes me nervous because I'm like, what is still going to happen? What is not going to happen? But there's also a beautiful anticipation to it. I think, you know, what the series has tried to do is the important scenes that, you know, seem to be favorites are coming through. They're never going to look like what the rest of us wanted them to look like. You know, when you read a book, even the house is different. I'm sure Mkhele's house in Nechirena was different for all of us. So even the writers and the directors, when they're going to do this in the series, it's not going to look the same. And I think for all of us in this space going forward, for our own peace of mind, guys, let's review the series for the series, and see it as a story inspired by. I think we'll all enjoy it more. Yeah, and that's it from me. I look forward to... Yeah, Mistress Ailio Guti is like, that's what, maths is what, 25 episodes left. So, yeah, guys, I guess, angaz sumunana nini futi, but, yeah.
I like that now. Asaz Guti sumunana nini, because depending on next week, we might just say, ah, guys, there's nothing to discuss like last week, we said. So, you know what I also liked about what Sihle was saying, the writer saying Uti, there are some scenes that get cut and all of that, it just confirmed Uti, we are not crazy when we say Uti, there are things that are missing, there are gaps and things are rushed and so on. So, yeah, but thank you so much, ladies and gents that joined. Thank you for the conversations. I really, really enjoyed hearing everybody's perspective. Yeah, let's see what happens in the next coming weeks. Hopefully, we'll still be as entertained as we are. Even if we are complaining, we are still watching because we are entertained and we love the books and we love the show. So, yeah, have a good evening, guys.
Bye, Miss Lelo. Go get some color.
Enjoy
Bobby Kikau.
Fire eye. I you cow even. Or Unkwasan.